What is up, Rotoballers? Welcome back to the Fantasy Bomb presented by Rotoballer. And we are in the thick of draft season. That is, if you're a best ball player, because we know it's still a ways until the regular season starts, but best ball drafts have been going on for, well, it seems like months now. This time last year, Chris, we were knee deep in best ball leagues. You were what, maybe 20, 30 deep as far as leagues for best ball. So I know this year is a little different for you. Come clean. At this time, exactly how many leagues are you in for best ball?
One league.
Wow. Just one. Wow. That's the same as me. That's pretty sad. I've only done one league so far.
It's exactly the same as you. And it's even the exact same best ball draft as you.
Okay, so of course, loyal listeners will remember we talked about our draft, our first and so far only best ball draft a few weeks ago. It seemed like we started, I think, right after the beginning of best ball's BB10s opened, and did our early best ball talk with ADP. So we're going to get back to it. We're going to talk about some best ball draft values. Notice didn't use the word sleepers, though. So we're going to talk about some good values. Not the guys who are undrafted free agents that aren't really going to play. We're not going to talk about Ronald Jones being a breakout player this year. And I guarantee you we're not going to talk about Devontae Parker. If you know me, that's not happening. All right. We might talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick, though. So what's the difference, though, Chris? When I say value play, what does that mean to you? Because it's not a sleeper, not a guy that nobody's heard of. Anybody who's a rotoballer, you've heard of these guys, right? But what makes somebody a value pick in any draft?
Well, to me, a value pick is somebody who you expect to perform better than where they're being drafted, than the players that are being drafted around. Basically, where you feel like they should be going higher in drafts because of what you think they're going to do, but you're getting them, you know, later in the draft than you think they should.
Okay. Makes sense to me. So, again, talk about return on investment. It's all about value, right? So some of these overlooked guys, veterans that are – not super exciting, not these new names, but could still be solid guys, right? Wide receiver, 3-4 types, something like that. Running back who might fill in and save your day once your top first-round pick goes down with an ACL injury. Sorry, it's going to happen. So let's get into that, talk about some of the best values, and we'll help you guys out with your best ball drafts. That's why we're here. All right, let's drop the bomb.
It's the Fantasy Bomb.
All right, welcome back. As I mentioned, this is Fantasy Bomb. I'm Pierre Camus, and this is Chris Mangano. We are the Fantasy Bomb crew here for you every single week, all year long. All right, Chris, ADP values. Now, also when we talk about values to define it, we're going to talk about, what, let's say after the 10th round, something like that, maybe pick 120 later than that?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, because it's hard to define. I mean, you can get a value pick technically in the third or fourth round if you think it's a guy who's, you know, worth a first-round pick. But, yeah, we're going to talk about pretty non-obvious guys. We're going to go a little farther down because in the early rounds, right, there's not a lot of change and pretty much as far as drafts, the way they shake out, so... All right, so let's start after pick 120. Let's talk about some names that might jump off the screen here. I want to ask you, because I know that you probably a little bit more so than some others, you kind of like Lamar Miller, right? You think he's really underrated, kind of a solid pick because he could be a steady RB2. He's pretty much got the starting job wrapped up. But when you see Dante Foreman there at 126, do you think that's a good value because he has the chance to jump into some carries? He's on a good offense. I mean, to me, he's a guy, he's one of the top, if you want to call him a handcuff, that I like to pick. But how do you feel about him?
Yeah, not really my cup of tea. I mean, I know typically Achilles takes a long time to recover from. I don't even really know if he actually got on the NFL field last year, if he played a snap. If he did, it was very few. He should be better now into this year, but again, they got Lamar Miller. I just don't see, like, when we're looking at, I want guys who can give me big weeks. I don't need you know, week to week consistency. I don't need the safe 8 to 10 points or whatever it might be. I'm looking for big weeks because these are the guys that most weeks are going to ride your bench. But when they hit, they're going to fill out your flex. Or they're going to, like you said, they're RB3 or your wide receiver 4 or whatever it might be. So you want spike weeks down here. And I just don't see that with Dante Foreman. I just don't. This doesn't do it for me.
All right, like, fair enough.
If we were going to talk about a running back around here that I like better, it'd be Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis, a guy who I think is not getting a lot of talk. He had the most touches he ever had in his career last year. I still don't believe that this is going to be, you know, Derrick Henry with a little bit of Deion Lewis sprinkled in. Like everybody wants to believe, like everybody said it for the last 5 years or whatever it's been. I still think we're going to see plenty of Deion Lewis. And you want to talk about a handcuff. If something happens to Derrick Henry, we know Deion Lewis can handle every bit of the load. He can handle all the work. So to me, if I'm going to target somebody here, I'd rather have Deion Lewis going just a few picks ahead of Dante Foreman. To me, I feel like he offers more upside.
Well, that's interesting because Lewis is pretty much a faller. I mean, last year he was picked, you know, fairly high, kind of like a fringe RB2. And this year it's just, yeah, everyone assumed, like I said, they're going to give Henry the ball 20 times or more. And, you know, Lewis is like an afterthought. They're still going to use Lewis. The question is how much? Is it enough to make him fantasy relevant? Most people think no, he's pretty much just a handcuff or depth, you know, like if you have to start him, you will on a bye week or something. But he's not a bad back. You remember that, you know, they wanted him as a replacement for DeMarco Murray is kind of that lightning and thunder thing. And he didn't quite have the year we expected, but Tennessee has pretty good offensive line still. And that's definitely a run heavy offense. So, you know, definitely a guy who's a much better value this year than last year. Now, is he worth starting? No. Is he a good pick in best ball? That's a little different, right? Because, you know, you don't have to worry about that decision. And as far as other guys, I mean, look who's going right around him. Matt Breida, kind of the same position, except he's the third back in that offense. Dante Foreman, we already mentioned. Carlos Hyde. I mean, how do you think about Hyde versus Lewis? Because Hyde's a very similar situation, right?
I mean, I like Hyde a lot, too. I'd be fine with either of those guys, to be honest. My concern with Carlos Hyde is that he just gets buried behind Damien Williams. You know, if he doesn't end, if Damien Williams is the clear starter, we've seen Andy Reid typically will use one guy much more than the others. I mean, Hyde will have his touches, but it will be, you know, probably something more like a 60-40, maybe even a 70-30 kind of split. Whereas with Henry and Lewis, I think we're going to see a 50-50, especially when you factor in the receiving game, because Henry does not catch passes. I think he's had like 18 targets in his entire career. 18. Like, that's just, guys blow that away in a season. So he's not going to be involved in the passing game. So at a minimum, Deion Lewis is going to be their pass catching back. And I think he's going to still get some carries. And again, if something were to happen to Derrick Henry, he can handle all the work. So just tons of upside there. But I do like Hyde a little too. I just feel like there's a chance with Carlos Hyde, he could just get you nothing the entire year, where I don't feel like that's going to be the case with Deion Lewis.
You know, it wouldn't have surprised me if halfway through the year that Carlos Hyde is cut and not on the team anymore either. So there's definitely more risk there. That's for sure. All right, talk about some receivers in that area. So I want to ask you, actually, between a couple of guys here. We have MVS, a real popular pick here, is Valdes-Scantling in Green Bay, just because that offense, you know, somebody's going to have to produce, and there's not a lot of depth as far as veteran receivers there. And then you have a guy a little bit later on in Robert Foster, who is not in a dynamic offense, but he had a really nice end to last season. Between those two, who do you prefer as a value, better value pick? Again, we're talking best ball.
I mean, between those two, I got to go MVS only because he's attached to Aaron Rodgers. I still think Geronimo Allison is going to be the number two. I think he's going to slide in that number two role. I know people are really excited about MVS because there was some report in training camp or OTAs about how good MVS has looked, and Aaron Rodgers paid him some compliment or something, and now all of a sudden – he's going to pass Davante Adams on the depth chart, right? So that's just how it goes this time of year. But I still believe Geronimo Allison, you know, he's got the experience with Aaron Rodgers. He's been there, you know, what's going on in his third year now. I think he's going to slot in as his trusted number two, with MVS more of a number three role. I just don't I mean, I know Foster had some big weeks towards the end of the year there, but they added John Brown. They added Cole Beasley. This isn't the same, you know, offense. Zay Jones, I think, is going to be better. So I just don't see how he's going to fit in to this passing game enough to give you really anything. Maybe he'll give you one or two games, and that'll be about it for the year, barring, you know, some kind of injuries. That's how I feel about it. So here I'm going to give the edge to MBS.
Yeah, I think most people will. Again, their ADP is not too far apart. Again, right now, and we're looking at, by the way, if you want to know where we're looking, best ball 10s, BB 10s, and this is ADP just since June 1st. This is post-draft, but also just recent drafts. Robert Foster going 144, and then MVS is at 133. So really not that far apart.
I mean, you know, the guy I want right here is Tyrell Williams. Who's going?
Really? I thought you weren't a Tyrell Williams guy.
I'm not a Tyrell Williams guy, but this is best ball, and I'm looking for spike weeks. He's going to play opposite Antonio Brown, who's going to get a lot of the attention, obviously. And this is he's a burner. He's a big play threat. He's the exact type of guy I like to target here at the wide receiver position because, yeah, he's going to have some dud weeks. Like in redraft, I don't want Tyrell Williams because – he's going to be on your bench. He's going to get 25 points 1 week, and then you're going to be like, man, I guess I got to play Tyrell Williams next week, and then he's going to get five, and you're going to lose or whatever. But in best ball, it's okay because when he gets those 25-point weeks, he's your wide receiver four, or he's your wide receiver three or two, or your flex, or whatever it might be, depending on how good your team is. And he's the type of guy that can you know, have you being the leading scorer those weeks when he hits those home runs. And he's going to hit some home runs. He's going to have some big games in this offense. It's just the problem is, in between, he's going to have some crappy games, some duds. You don't want that in redraft, but in best ball, especially this late, I'm all about that.
And that's a guy that's not too far after that, that exactly what you're talking about, those spike weeks, but you can't rely on him. It's Kenny Stills, also pretty good value. So in best ball, just in general, prefer to take those guys who could have those big weeks, those big play receivers, the guys with really high A-dots, and you know they're going to come up with those big plays on occasion, and you don't have to worry about predicting those. So those are all good picks there. John Brown, would love him if he was pretty much on any other team, I think. Although, I mean, I know Josh Allen's got the gun, right? He can sling it deep. Not worried about him getting it there. But between him and Foster, and then, you know, that offensive line's still questionable. So I just don't love him.
I definitely like Stills more than John Brown. Especially if, you know, the reports we're hearing are true and Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to start the year. I mean, because the thing with Josh Allen is, yeah, he's got the arm, but he's not accurate.
Yeah.
And you're going to be watching Red Zone and they're going to cut to Buffalo. This just happened in Buffalo and you're going to see John Brown wide open and the ball just fly over his head or something and you're going to be all frustrated. Whereas with Kenny Stills, Fitzpatrick's a gunslinger too. He'll chuck it, but he's a lot more accurate throwing a deep then. I shouldn't all say right. A lot more accurate, but he's more accurate throwing deep.
All right. So since you brought it up, right, I didn't bring it up, but I was going to wear remember the shirt of the summer, right? I wore it last week and it blended in with my background here a little bit. I'm going to still represent it here. Can you see that? You can kind of see that.
Barely. The Rosen one. Yeah. It looks even creepier now. Cause now you just, all you can really see is Josh Rosen, shirtless Josh Rosen. It's really all you can really see right now.
That's perfect. That's a perfect effect, I think.
Can't even see you. It's like you disappeared behind shirtless Josh Rosen.
That's my life's dream. all right, moving on. So, anyways, we already know Josh Rosen is the best sleeper here, but let's talk about some other players. One more receiver I want to bring up. You know, my man, Tre'Quan Smith. I bought him a Dynasty. He is, what was the quote? Looking really good this summer. I mean, you can't, what are you going to say? I mean, if a guy says that, gets that in OTAs, you can't just ignore that compliment.
No. I mean, is there a video of him catching a touchdown pass yet? Because then I'm all in on Tre'Quan Smith.
There's footage of him running a really crisp slant route. I mean, it's like cutting on a dime.
Like on 7-on-7 drills where there's no contact?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it was like really sharp. Like perfect 45 degree angle.
This is his year. No, I mean, I'm not going to argue against him. He's attached to Drew Brees. He's in a good offense. He had a couple games last year where he had a really big week. So we know the upside is there. I mean, again, I prefer Stills just a couple picks ahead of him. between the two. But yeah, if that's your thing, I'm okay with it.
I mean, you know, you don't need him in this format, you know, to be a consistent guy, which he definitely wasn't last year. But I think he'll get – he's a perfect post-hype breakout, right? Everyone was all on him, you know, the middle of last year after he had one big game. And then, of course, that was the only big game he had. No, I think he had one other one. But this is the time to grab him, right, when nobody's on him and everyone said, oh, he's washed up after his rookie year because he didn't do anything as a rookie. So that to me, that's a nice late-round pick. I would prefer to grab him a little bit later than a guy like John Brown who, you know, it's just going to be limited with his target. So who else you like here? Give me a name. Let's maybe move on to – well, no, you can give me another receiver if you want or maybe a running back, something around this area.
Well, I'm going to give you a running back, my boy. We all know he's my boy. Mm-hmm. My boy. The Indian is not my boy. This guy is my boy. Chris Thompson.
He's your boy, that's for sure.
Automatically makes us boys, right? We share the same name. Here's a guy. I mean, I get it. He only played, what, like a quarter of the season last year. He was tearing it up the year before he got injured. I know he's probably not going to play all 16 games. He's just not that durable. We have to accept that. But when he's on the field, he makes things happen. He's explosive. He's exactly what you want down here. And you're getting him a pick like 165. I don't even know what round that is, like 14 something, 13, something like that, whatever it is. And people, he's going behind Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson. Like, I don't understand how Darius Geis can be drafted in like the third or fourth round. And then people will still take Adrian Peterson over Chris Thompson, who only runs the ball. Like, you, if you want to argue that Darius Geis is going to catch passes and that's going to kill Chris Thompson's value, that's fine, which I don't think is going to happen. I think Chris Thompson is still going to catch his share of passes and he's going to be explosive. But you, if you're picking Darius Geis in the third round, you're basically saying Adrian Peterson is useless, right? Because Adrian Peterson has no role in this offense. If Darius Geis is going to pay off a third or fourth round ADP, Adrian Peterson has no role in this offense. So I don't understand how Adrian Peterson could be drafted ahead of Chris Thompson. But again, Chris Thompson, tons of upside, tons of explosive playability. We've seen it for the last 2 years. When he's on the field, he makes things happen. He's explosive. Exact kind of guy you want here. You know, again, you don't care. Like, Chris Thompson might miss half the season. It's okay, because when he's on the field, he's going to get you points.
You know, to me, Peterson is, he's a handcuff only, right? So maybe if you already had guys and you're a little nervous, or you think that Peterson's in, you know, due to start some games, if he's just a change of pace back, he has no value. I mean, to me, right? You're going to get 5 to 8 carries and that's it. You know, and Peterson's the type of running back where he needs to kind of lather up and get a lot of touches. When he gets more touches, he can get going. He can have 100-yard games, right? He did last year, but not with a few. He's not the guy. What happened in New Orleans, right? He was one of three backs. It did not work. And now he's one of three backs. So, yeah. And not on as good of offense as New Orleans either. So, I have zero interest in Adrian Peterson. Chris Thompson, agree. I mean, definitely good value there. I'd rather take him than like Kalen Ballage, who's going to pick after him. We don't even know if he's going to see the field. So I'd rather have Thompson, yeah, for sure. Are there any tight ends, dare I ask, that are worth considering here? Talk about after, like, say, pick 150 that you like in best ball. We got some rookies here. Noah Fant at 171. I know some people are all over him. Mike Gesicki, you know, the physical specimens here who have yet to produce. Ian Thomas is going 196. I mean, do you like him? Which of those guys would you like the best there for a second tight end?
I don't really like any. I tend to shy away from rookie tight ends. They typically just don't do anything their rookie year. I don't understand this one. Greg Olsen at 159 seems like a screaming value to me. I know he's got the issue with the foot, but again, this is a guy when he's on the field, he's got that rapport with Cam Newton. Cam Newton trusts him. Cam Newton's going to give him the ball. Yeah, maybe he doesn't finish the year. Maybe he re-injures that foot. Maybe that's the end of his career. But you're getting him basically for free as your tight end two, maybe your tight end three. If he gives you 4 or 5, you know, games where he cracks your lineup, you're going to take that all day at this level. And I, you know, there's no reason he can't do that. I don't think Ian Thomas is going to suddenly leapfrog Greg Olsen. I mean, even when Greg Olsen was out last year and everybody was like, oh, it's Ian Thomas's time, it didn't happen. It wasn't Ian Thomas's time. So I don't think now that Greg Olsen is on the field, it's going to be Ian Thomas's time. So there's definitely some risk there. I like him. I definitely like him as a tight end. And who else we got there? I mean, and I do, you know, I do, I think you mentioned him. I do like Gesicki. I think I actually drafted him in our best ball draft. That's my tight end three. So I got one share. I got one share of Gesicki in one draft. So that's pretty good, I guess. But I do like
Gesicki. 100%.
Yeah, it's 100% ownership. I'm all in on Gesicki this year. All in.
All in.
But I do like him. Again, you're getting him at just an incredible value. Even if he just does nothing this year, it's not going to kill your team. He's going to be like your tight end three, more than likely. I do think he takes a step forward here in the second year. I think having – I'd like him more if I knew Rosen was playing all 16. I think I'd like him a little more than having Fitzpatrick. But I think he's going to do enough even with Fitzpatrick, and I think we are going to see Rosen plenty this year. So I do like to say.
I sure hope so. I'm going to see plenty of Rosen. All right. So let's finish up with some late round value. So let's go after pick 200. We'll each name a guy that we're targeting in the last couple rounds of our drafts. Not talking defense and kicker, of course. You can figure out that yourself. So not including defense, any player. You can even go quarterback if you like. We really haven't talked quarterbacks just because, I don't know, it's really easier to pick out the quarterbacks, you know. You don't have to go too deep and think about that. So any guy you like after pick 200?
Yeah, there's a couple receivers I like, a couple slot receivers I like. I like my favorite team, slot receiver Trey Quinn. Yeah, he's going to slide into that Jamison Crowder role. I, you know, this is not a good wide receiver group. And that's probably being generous. That's probably being pretty generous. So there's no reason to think he can't get, you know, his share of targets here and have some nice games during the year. Again, not a guy I want to count on week to week, but a guy that should give you 3 to 4 good weeks. And I really like Randall Cobb, who I think people are kind of forgetting about after he didn't really come through last year the way we hoped. He's going to take over that Cole Beasley role in Dallas. And no offense, Cole Beasley, he's better than Cole Beasley. So I definitely think, you know, with Dak Prescott, he can have some – I mean – Dak Prescott made Cole Beasley semi-relevant in fantasy football. So, I mean, I think
semi-relevant.
I think Randall Cobb will be relevant in fantasy football. I think Randall Cobb is even a great value in redraft. He's a guy even in redraft I would be trying to target because I think he's one of the, he's going to be one of those guys that probably doesn't even get drafted in most leagues, and then week one or week two he's going to be a hot waiver wire item in my opinion.
There you go. Very good. Yeah, Randall Cobb will be forgotten. Everyone think as soon as he leaves Green Bay that, you know, he's going to be worthless. But, yeah, don't sleep on that offense. I know we're both kind of high on that passing game, relatively speaking, compared to their current value. I'll go with a couple of receivers I think are going to be overlooked. You know, I'm kind of a fan of ESB, Equanimeous St. Brown. We talked about how Marcus Valdes-Scantling was going at what did I say? Was it pick 133 or something like that? More than 100 picks later, you get ESB, who is also second receiver, also in Green Bay. You know, everyone talks about Valdes-Scantling. He looks good. If you remember toward the very end of last season, St. Brown actually was out targeting Valdes-Scantling. And, you know, he's a guy who came from Notre Dame. He's definitely a talented guy. He could wind up being just as valuable. And again, 100 picks later. So, you know, if you missed out on MVS or if you just want to wait, try to get better value, I kind of have my eye on him as like a fifth, sixth receiver type. And also a guy I look at is DJ Chark because, again, Jacksonville now, new quarterback, that whole receiving core, right, though kind of mostly tacked. People are going to be on Westbrook first and then Keelan Cole is everybody's sleeper this year. I keep saying Keelan Cole is going to come back. Okay, Chris Conley's the guy getting all the hype right now. And don't forget, they drafted DJ Chark fairly high, and he's been looking good this offseason. He's a guy who was real quiet last year, but I'd rather wait and take a chance on Chark. I think he could easily outproduce Keelan Cole. Now, Keelan Cole's ADP isn't any higher than Chark right now, but this is a guy, to me, who has the ability to make some big plays. We talked about earlier with like Robert Foster and those type of guys. I'd take a chance on a guy like this with one of my late-round picks.
Yeah,
we know Nick Foles likes to sling it deep.
Yes.
All right. Any other thoughts on best ball values here? Anything you notice about the positions themselves? Is this a year to wait on quarterback still? I don't know. Any thoughts on values for ADP? for best ball?
Well, I mean, yeah, quarterback is always kind of the same to me. You draft the elite guys earlier in the year, and then as you get closer to the start of the season, because what's going to happen is their ADPs are going to start to rise. Right now, you can still get them at a little bit of a discount. But as more of the casual player comes in and they start taking quarterbacks early, you can't get those guys. So if you want to like balance out your exposure to quarterbacks, you take those, you know, top five kind of guys now when their ADP is down a little bit, not counting Patrick Mahomes, because ADP is ridiculous. And then as the season goes on, you can wait because you'll get, you know, there's so many quarterback values like Phillip Rivers, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. There's just tons. Jared Goff. I saw Jared Goff was down there in like the 120s. Like, come on, like that guy, what the heck? You know, just take Jared Goff at 120 and as your QB2 or whatever it might be, and you're just fine. You don't even need a QB3 at that point.
No, it's true. I mean, there's really no reason to take quarterback early. Even a super flex league, like we talked last week about the fishbowl. We're doing our fishbowl mock, you know, it's super flex. Quarterbacks get 6 points per touchdown. I mean, it's just so focused. And still, I mean, I got a pair of good quarterbacks. I mean, you waited a while, right? We got a good starting quarterbacks in round six, round seven.
I think I got Kirk Cousins, who I think is a dude who's going to have a huge back here. I think he's going to have a huge bounce back here. Anyways, I like him a lot. I got him in round – what round is that? Seven?
Yeah. This is right super flex.
I got him at the early six, 6.2. Yeah, in super flex. So yeah, and that, still, I mean, look at the QBs that are on the board. You still got Brady, Lamar Jackson, Sam Bradford, Trubisky, Derek Carr, Stafford, if you like that kind of thing, Nick Foles, Sam Darnold, Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, who I really like. I mean, there's still a lot of quarterbacks on the board.
And guys, I mean, think about it. Tom Brady could be like the 20th quarterback off the board. Derek Carr, I think I like as a good value pick in any format, best ball, whatever. You can't tell me there's not 24 quarterbacks that are worth playing, and you can get one later than everybody else and still do just fine. You know, Stafford, I'm not sure about. But yeah, there's plenty of quarterbacks out there. So Andy Dalton, a guy who is getting slept on. I know you're big on him. Called him the best quarterback ever a couple weeks ago. So yeah. Anyways, value, you know, it's all subjective, guys. Every draft is different. You got to check out the draft board. Know your league mates, if possible, if you're in a public league. You're just going to have to do your best to read the draft, how it's going. But just keep in mind, guys, you don't have to get stuck on a position or a player. You got to just kind of play things out and always go for value. That's what matters, right? All right, so with that, this has been the Fantasy Bomb. If you want our best ball rankings up to date, Chris and I are both rankers along with Phil Clark, updated best ball rankings every month. And check out rankings for every other format, Dynasty, Rookie, Redraft, half, full, PPR, standard, everything. You know where to find it. Rotoballer.com. All right. Thanks for watching, guys.